Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
One of the important things about being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and bearing fruit to His eternal glory is that you learn the Word of God and you teach the Word of God. Jesus says in the end of Matthew 28, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them," there's the word teaching again, "to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So Jesus says that all power in heaven and earth has been delivered unto Him, all authority and power, and He created it all. Then He says, go teach all nations. Then He says, we're to teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, the apostles' doctrine, quote-unquote, in Acts 2:42, is the doctrines of Christ taught to His apostles, namely His 12, and how they put it forth to the world. And now we have it in the 27-book canon of the New Testament Scriptures. So we are to learn. It makes it much easier now that God has seen fit to preserve His Word in print, obviously, to us, which they didn't have, not the New Testament canon, at the time Jesus wrote that. But now we do, and the faith once delivered to the saints can be known and learned and, you know, mastered, if you will, by the New Testament disciple who is to go and teach. Now, some of us have this idea, and it's erroneous. Jesus didn't send them forth to go find near the seminary. That will really get you in trouble in most cases, friend. Really big trouble, because they'll teach you how to not believe what God said and how not to take Him at His word. They're going to give you books about from mere men. You know, you're going to learn what they have to say about the Bible instead of just learning the Bible yourself. You know, the Bible tells us, again, the earliest believers continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. See, they learned it individually and together in Acts 2:42. Then Acts 17:11, we see that the Berean believers, apparently, I don't know if they did it individually or together, but they searched the scriptures daily and compared what the Bible said to what Paul was teaching to make sure Paul was teaching the truth. You know, I got to stop right here and tell you that last week I met a pastor, a guy that's a pastor of a church, and it's at least a pretty good size one. He didn't know that verse at all. I was shocked. But then again, I wasn't. The depth of epidemic apostasy in what's called the church, you know, in this modern church world is staggering, friends. It's staggering. So, but anyway, you and I, as disciples of Christ, Jesus taught her to bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. In that progression, those terms appear in John 15. That'd be a great chapter for you to read this week. John 15, as we abide in Christ, we bear fruit to His eternal glory. If we're not bearing fruit, which would include teaching others His word as we're learning it daily ourselves, then we're not abiding in Christ. And He says, if you don't abide in me, you'll be taken as a branch and thrown, broken off, and then thrown into the fire. And He's talking about those branches, quote, in me, unquote. So if you've been born again and you're not teaching people God's word, you are not being fruitful as He would have you to be. Notice in the end of Matthew 28, the passage I just read, verse 18 through 20, I want to point out that it doesn't say go and make disciples. No, it says you go teach. Go teach all nations. Teach all men, men of all nations. You and I don't have to leave where we live. There's men from all nations in our neighborhoods, all over our cities, teaching the word, doesn't matter who they are, in other words, in the flesh, because that doesn't matter. And then it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and then he promises to be with us in that administration of his word, even unto the end of the world. Now, you've heard it quoted, and I've quoted it myself, and don't quote it anymore that way, because I don't see it in the King James Bible. The term, go make disciples, I'm not so much saying it's a sin to say it that way, but at this point, but I believe God preserved his word in the authorized version, the King James Bible, and I believe it says teach for reason. Because, you see, only Christ can really make a disciple. You and I, we learn his word, and we learn of him that way, and by his spirit, and we choose to be his disciples individually, which is consistent with the whole of scripture, namely the scriptures in Ezekiel, you know, where you're not going to be judged for your father, he's not going to be judged for you, you know, you're individually responsible. Jesus himself throughout the gospels used the term, quote, take heed unto yourselves, see, unquote. It's a personal responsibility. I can't really make a disciple. Somebody has to individually make the decision to become a disciple, that is, a follower of Christ. But we can, as we are disciples, as we have chosen and are choosing to be Jesus' disciples, we can teach his word so that they can be armed with the information they need and become his disciples and grow in that relationship. And let's switch to elders for a moment here as we close. What is the purpose for elders? Why did Jesus give servant elders to his body? It certainly isn't for them, as we see so often today. It certainly isn't for them to reign as kings, if you will, among the people and to have fame and recognition and accolades and, in some cases, excess of luxury. That's not why Jesus gave us servant elders. In fact, that's completely inconsistent with the example of him and of his apostles that we have modeled in the New Testament scriptures that we read. And that's why God gave us his written word, so we wouldn't be deceived into some false form of Christianity that would lead us to the end where we would hear from him, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. And I'm so amazed at how little people that claim to know Christ read, meditate upon, and memorize God's word. It becomes very clear that what he meant was by a few, only a few are going to enter in, even though many be called. You know, it becomes clear that that is a minuscule few, even among those who name the name of Christ, as that would be my opinion. Ephesians 4, I'm going to pick up in verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11, here we go. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So Jesus gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I accept all of those eldership administrations and callings for the body of Christ today. This was written a few decades after Christ rose from the dead, completed his perfect redemption. And so I don't have this cessationist view that there can't be apostles, prophets, but evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Of course, all of us acknowledge evangelists, pastors, and teachers, but some of us have a problem with apostles and prophets. At this point, the way I look at that is those are places of functions. That's not titles to go around and flash and use to get people, you know, put it on your Facebook page. I'm Apostle John Smith, bless God. You know, so please hit like and listen to everything I say. If you're an apostle, you know, just die to the title and just serve the Lord with everything that's in you, giving your life to him and his people for his glory, not yours. And so, anyway, but these ministrations of the gifts of God, as Jesus gave here, this is in contrast to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and perhaps we have the gifts of the Father in Romans 12, and in 1 Corinthians 12 is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the gifts of Jesus. See how each divine member of the Godhead was fully involved in the redemption of mankind and of the church and of the functioning of the body of Christ here. Jesus gave the gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers. And why did he give those gifts? Verse 12, for the perfecting, that is the maturing, the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. There it is, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That means full maturity in Christ, all of us, that we henceforth, or from now on, be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So, included in the maturing of the saints and equipping them, as we learn the Word of God together, is the promise that we won't be tossed to and fro by deceivers. We won't be carried about with every wind of doctrine that blows through the church, that is, false doctrines galore, by the sleight of men. There are deceitful men, the Bible says over and over. Deceitful, ungodly men, said Jude 4. And cunning craftiness. See, they're like their father, the devil, as Jesus spoke in John 8 about the false leaders of his day, namely the Pharisees. And then he says, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They're looking for their next victim. So even though you and I have no iota of desire or evil in us to hurt or harm anyone in any way, that doesn't mean there aren't other people that are like that. That's why we have to be taught the Word of God. We've got to learn the Word of God. If you've got a Bible, you should be reading it every day, studying to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And when you do gather with other believers, which should be all the time, forget this weekly Christianity, so-called. There's no such thing. Jesus said it was daily. You're going to follow Him. To follow Him, He said it's a daily walk. He qualified it in several places in the Gospels, including Luke 9:23-24. So if a man who is called out and no one calls themselves, God puts the callings on each of us. If a man is called out and only men can be, he's got to be the husband of one wife, and only a man can be. So an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, someone who's servant leading, what are they to be doing? Verse 12, for the perfecting, that is the maturing and equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we are to be learning of the Lord, and in part that's from studying to show your own self approved daily in the Word of God, and also with groups of Christians, whether two or three or more gathered together, and letting the word of Christ dwell in you, plural, all of you, richly teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's Colossians 3:16. And that is for the perfecting, the maturing of the saints for the work of the ministry, so that you and I go and the world God sends us into, we be the salt and the light. We teach the word of God, and we edify other members of the body of Christ, and we preach the gospel. We communicate the good news of God's mercy upon mankind through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. That's what you and I are to be about. That is our Father's business, beloved, is saving souls, reaching out. And there is more distraction now than there ever has been in the history of mankind. In this late last hour, I believe it was Daniel 12, 2 or 3, he says that knowledge would be increased in the last days. And, you know, that knowledge, that technology is being used to distract you and me. I mean, what is this? There's a a new movie out, premiered every week or two or three, you know, and all this sci-fi stuff and all of these myriad of things to draw our attention away from the master, beloved, the potter, and we're the clay. We're to be molded into his image. We're to be molded into what his teachings define clearly here, that we are to be learning the word of God, and we're to be teaching all men all these things, Matthew 28. We're to be perfected as saints, matured and equipped by personal responsibility and studying the word and learning from other believers, and also included our apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. In other words, servant elders, let's leave it at that, for the edifying the body of Christ. So we're learning, we're being perfected and equipped and prepared and going out and teaching the word of God. I believe that's what the New Testament plan is. And if you're not involved in that plan, even more than one aspect of it, you're not fulfilling a New Testament purpose. The New Testament purpose of the Lord is not that you become a good church member or even join a church or go to church every Sunday. That's nowhere listed anywhere in the Bible. And then, of course, the first objection of those that have been taught well by wolves is, well, brother, the Bible says to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Yeah, but the Bible doesn't say that has to be on Sunday morning in some man's church that where he's building a business. That's not what God had in mind. Let me read those scriptures here as we close. Hebrews 13, 7 and 17. They're so often misused. Well, the forsaking of yourselves together, as the manner of some is actually found in Hebrews 10, actually a few chapters before that. It says, verse 24 of Hebrews 10, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. One another. That has nothing to do with, oh, go to the church and see the pastor. No, we are the body of Christ. And we are the body of Christ 24/7. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Notice, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together doesn't, there's no mention of that being weekly. You know, we get all impressed with ourselves because we, quote unquote, get dressed up and go to church once or twice a week, when the earliest believers met house to house daily. Into Acts 2, read the passage, please. Acts 2, 42 through 47. So let's get this rightly divided here, this not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. They met daily, not weekly. So the going to church on Sunday is definitely not the biblical model. Hebrews 3:13 qualifies it as daily. Also, in fact, a fascinating study for you to do might be looking up the word daily in the New Testament in King James and referencing and reading every single verse and perhaps the context of it where the word daily appears. That will be eye-opening, let me tell you. Continue to more clearly define your walk with Christ and the will of God. Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another, it's talking about the brethren, daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So we're to exhort one another, not weekly, but daily, exhort one another while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. See, sin creeps at the door. If it crouches at the door, Jesus said, and it does so daily, not weekly. And so he's saying here in this context that among the brethren, there's going to be the temptation to sin and then to be hardened in your heart through the deceitfulness of sin. And in light of that, we must exhort one another, not weekly, because that's really not exhortation or real fellowship anyway, because you're really just going into some man's church, organization's church, and you're standing shoulder to shoulder, and then they give you this little token 2 minutes where they rush you normally to turn and greet and talk to someone next to you. But yeah, come on. You're sitting there shaking that hand, and no, that's not fellowship. That's not even beginning to be fellowship. Then you go home, and next week you show up again, and there's no relationships being built. You're not continuing steadfastly together in the apostles' doctrine and breaking of bread and fellowship and in prayers together. You don't need a church organization for that. We are the church. You don't need anybody's approval for that. Let's get back into Acts chapter 2, my friend, in our lives and live out true, genuine, authentic New Testament Christianity where we abide in Christ. We continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship with the saints and breaking of bread, that is eating and drinking coffee, etc., together and praying together and just being the body of Christ 24/7 and exhorting one another daily in this last hour, lest any of us be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. God bless you, friend, and please feel free to avail yourself to safeguardyoursoul.com and the resources there. The Lord bless you. Jesus is coming soon.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.